Can I get you to turn on my lights here? There we go. Oh, kids, you're dismissed for children's church. Or no children's church? Donna's going, no. Okay, never mind. We're all here today. But well, good morning. We got one person that's awake. Good morning. I know we're not a lot, but those of us that are here should be here. We've been working hard on the roof. Some of them might think that we've been hardly working on the roof. So we haven't made quite as much progress this week as we did last week. But last week we really had a concerted effort. We had some mechanical difficulties this week, which got in our way. But the roof really is coming right along. So please keep that in prayer. And thank you again for everybody who is praying for the roof, has given funds for the roof, who is... been up and worked on the roof. I did last week after our service. I went and I personally thanked the Hmong for their work. As this is not a job that any of us could do by ourselves, either congregation. And we appreciate the help that all have given. This is a holiday weekend and there's a lot of people traveling. But I just pray that you would each stay safe as if you do any traveling this week. If you're going somewhere for a celebration, please be careful with fireworks, etc. As we don't need any more tragedies. Okay, well, let's turn our Bibles to Romans chapter 11, and we're going to begin with the 13th verse. I am talking to you Gentiles. Inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I make much of my ministry and hope that I may somehow arouse my own people to envy and save some of them. For if their rejection is the reconciliation of the world, what will their acceptance be but life from the dead? If the part of the dough offered as first fruits is holy, then the whole batch is holy. If the root is holy, so are the branches. If some of the branches have been broken off, and you, though a wild olive shoot, have been grafted in among the others, and now share in the nourishing sap from the olive root, do not boast over those branches. If you do, consider this. You do not support the root, but the root supports you. You will say then, branches were broken off so that I could be grafted in. Granted, but they were broken off because of unbelief, and you stand by faith. Do not be arrogant, but be afraid. For if God did not spare the natural branches, He will not spare you either. Consider therefore the kindness and sternness of God. Sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in His kindness. Otherwise you also will be cut off. And if they do not persist in unbelief, they will be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. After all, if you were cut out of an olive tree that is wild by nature and contrary to nature were grafted into a cultivated olive tree, how much more readily will these, the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we ask now you'd send your Holy Spirit to illuminate these scriptures to us, to give us a greater understanding. Lord, I pray for your anointing to be upon me as I preach, that I might speak your word and your truth in such a manner that each person here would be encouraged and brought closer to you, that each one would find that word which they need to be strengthened and be brought closer to you. And might they, each one, know that they have heard from you personally this day. Lord, we pray this morning that your Holy Spirit would be present throughout all that goes on, and that it would be your word that is spoken in truth and in power. And I pray in particular, Lord, that as I speak, that I would not at all lift myself up, but I would only lift you up. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of you are familiar with grafting? I see a couple hands, so I'm going to go into it just a little bit. Grafting is an agricultural process used in mostly in orchards, where you take a branch from a tree that produces good fruit, and you cut off a branch on a tree that produces mediocre to poor fruit, but otherwise has a healthy root system and is otherwise a healthy tree. It just isn't producing as well. And you graft these branches in. And you can actually graft pear branches onto an apple tree. They're close enough of a relative that you can have pears and apples growing on the same tree side by side through the process of grafting. Well, here we're talking about the grafting of wild olives to a cultivated olive tree. Cultivated olives are very, very different than wild olives. Anybody here ever have a wild olive or see wild olives? There really aren't much to speak of. They're not very tasty. There isn't much fruit to them. But the cultivated olive has quite a bit of fruit around that seed in comparison, and is much tastier in all of its varieties. And grafting would be where the process where we would take and we would cut a branch off of one, then we cut the branch off another, there's a couple different ways. There's a slip where you put them side by side with the cuts and you bind them together and they grow that way. Or maybe a V-cut where it goes in like this and you bind it together. But the point is that you take the one, you prepare the surface, you put it in, and they grow together and they become one. And it's usually done to improve the fruit borne by the tree. You've got a tree here, which is producing really good apples. But maybe it's... So you take a branch, just one small part, and you cut it off and you put it on and you graft it into another tree that is so-so to multiply the number of trees that you have producing good fruit, because a particular tree can only support so many good branches. You have to prune back your fruit trees in order to get best production from them. Okay, you just don't let every branch grow out of it that could possibly grow. You get poorer production, you get poorer fruit. Now, why am I going on and on about grafting? Because Paul is using grafting as an illustration here in this, talking about how we relate to God. We, you and I, those who are Gentile, that is non-Jew, have been grafted to the tree of God and salvation. We've made one in the family. Now, when you graft a branch in, it becomes one. It grows together. You might be able to tell where the graft was on a younger one, but on some you can even get to the point where you really can't tell too much where the graft was without really being knowledgeable. but it becomes part of that tree, and it's that tree is nourished. The roots nourish that fruit. It allows you to, again, the whole grafting process allows you to expand your orchard much faster. It's quite often used where they'll take, we've got some good healthy trees here, and I want to take the fruit that they're making and put them over here. But here I've got some fast-growing trees, but they don't produce such good fruit. So I'll plant the fast-growing trees, you grow up, and then you graft in the good branches onto the fast-growing trees in order to get your good fruit. So the whole purpose for grafting in farming is to improve production or to get better fruit. The fruit is what's important. In this illustration, it's just backwards. It's just different. You see, the fruit isn't what's ultimately important in this, but the root is what's ultimately important. That which is supporting it. You see, they're used to thinking, oh, if you put me in, I must be better fruit. And he's saying, no, you're a wild olive. Wild olive, remember, is really lousy fruit versus the cultivated olive. And you're being pruned, grafted in. So you're actually making a tree which produces worse fruit in their mindset. You see that picture? But why is it being done? By faith. We're being led. We come to Christ. And those who weren't following God were pruned out. And in its place, those who were seeking to follow Him and following Him are being engrafted in. But it's not the fruit that's important here. The primary focus needs to be the root, which is Christ, which is God, which nourishes and supports and allows the branches to have life. What Paul is telling us here is that this grafting is for our benefit as we are improved by the life-giving sap of the root. The fruit is improved. Instead of the other way around, where the fruit improves the tree, here it is the root improves the fruit. We're not the ones that are important. God is. But we get all excited because we've been grafted in, therefore we must be more important, and no, it's not. And he tells us that we need to be careful. That once you've been grafted in doesn't mean that you can't be degrafted, pruned, taken out, removed from the root. That is removed from salvation here. This is one of those texts that I look at that leads me to believe that it's possible for one to lose one's salvation. But again, I see it, what it's saying here is if, do not be arrogant, but be afraid, for if God did not spare the natural branches, He will not spare you either. Remember, they've already been grafted in. Consider therefore the kindness and sternness of God, sternness to those who fell, a kindness to you, provided that you continue in His kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. And if they do not persist in unbelief, they will be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. See, normally when a branch is cut off, it's thrown into the fire, it's no good. And when it's pruned, done. But God is able to take even those pruned branches, and if they change, regraft them back in so he can bring them back in to the family of God. And a branch which belongs to that tree is going to do better than a branch which didn't necessarily belong to that tree. Doesn't have as many obstacles to overcome. It's kind of like somebody who needs a transplant. It's much easier to get one from an immediate family member. Twin sibling is the best because they have the exact same DNA as you. And you say, okay, we're alike. If they came from the tree, was removed from the tree, it can be brought back to the tree much easier. But he's also saying that this is a process that God is constantly doing. Pruning and grafting. We need to be careful that we're not pruned out. Sounds scary. I could lose my salvation. Again, I don't believe you can lose your salvation like you lose your car keys because you accidentally did something. It's who are you following? Are you following Jesus or are you not following Jesus? And that's what he's saying here. It's about who are you following. If you are following Jesus, you are following God, and you will not be pruned out. And those who were pruned out for not following Jesus, who then turn and follow Jesus, will be grafted back in. So God will welcome us back into the family. Those who've left can be brought back. Those who've been out for generations can come back. God is gracious and merciful. You see here the word kindness and sternness. God is stern. He will indeed follow the rules, if you would. God is righteous, and what is right must be done. And if we don't follow Him, He said that He will not allow us to enter into the kingdom. He didn't say, well, you know, you followed me for a while, but then you left, and good enough. That's not what it says here. So we need to not leave God. Now, I'm not talking about somebody who's having a time of questioning God. I'm talking about somebody who turns their back on God, walks away, denies Him, and seeks to follow someone else. This is not an accidental thing. It's a conscious, purposeful act. This should give us a lot of hope. It should also give us cause, as it says, we need to be afraid. This isn't fear of irrational fear of God's going to get smite me at any moment. This is the fear of knowing that there's a consequence for our actions. That we've been grafted in doesn't mean that we're absolutely permanent. We can be pruned back a bit or pruned completely out of the tree. We need to remember that in this case, unlike the world where grafting is done for the betterment of the tree, in God's kingdom, we are grafted to Him for our betterment. And it's the root that is holy. and makes us holy thereby. So as we prepare to come to the communion table this morning, consider, have you been grafted in? Are you seeking to ensure that you are partaking fully of the nourishment that the root is offering you? Are you drinking from God's love and wisdom and kindness for you? Is that where you're getting your strength? Because that's where it's supposed to come from. But if you're getting it from someplace else or seeking it from someplace else, God says He will cut us off. We come to the communion table. Consider those things. Seek the Lord's will. Seek to follow Him. Also this morning, as we come, if you need extra prayer, I'd ask you to come forward and have the elders and the deaconesses pray for you, and anyone else who feels led to come and pray. Whether you need physical healing, emotional healing, spiritual healing, maybe you have an emotional hurt, a spiritual scar, maybe somebody beat you up spiritually on something. These are all things which the Lord can bring healing to through our drinking of what the root has to offer. As ingrafted branches, we need to drink that in. And it's that which makes us holy. Jesus within us. That which makes us better. We don't make God better. God makes us better. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word, and we thank You that You have seen fit to graft us wild olive branches to You, the cultivated olive tree. And Lord, that You improve us thereby, that You make us holy. Lord, we thank You for it. Help us to remain in You, and You in us, just as You are in the Father, that we be in You. Might we indeed be one, grafted in. Father, help us to take our sustenance from You, to be encouraged and strengthened by You daily, to follow Your will and Your way. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.